Sometimes you have to get up, and this is one of those occasions. Get up! Get up podcast listener, I'm me, Hugh Williams. Today's guest, Lauren Johnson, ultra runner, first lady for the Pentland Ultras 100, which was on the 4th of July 2023. Entries now open for the Pentland Ultras 100 2024. Pentland Ultras 100 2024. The 100, you get a nice shiny buckle as well as potentially sandy blisters. Today's episode is sponsored by Beautiful Brutal Coffee. Let's have a listen. Gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon. I don't know where it is. We're having the bathroom done up, but I'm not in my house. No, I'm not in my house. I'm on the Slim Peninsula. I'm at mile 37 of 2 weeks ago, Pentland Ultras. And who's that just coming around the headland of Uwchmynydd? It's Lauren Johnson. Lauren, how are you?
Hi, Hugh. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
We're all right. You're sounding very chirpy. we can talk about the race and so on after you've done a quick little bio. I'm going to make you the infamous pre or post cup of tea or coffee. What's your drink of preference after a race or before a race?
Oh, before a race, it would have to be a coffee. After a race, I'll take anything, to be honest. Quite like peppermint tea, though, after a race.
Just to clean the fatigued mouth out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, oh, cool. Can you just, whilst I go and make that on my, if I can find my little pretend kettle, can you just give people, listeners, a little bit of a bio of who Lauren is?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Lauren Johnson. I live over in Nottingham. I've been running on and off for a number of years now, but got into trails and ultra running during lockdown, as so many people seem to have done. I'm a big fan of the Pentland Ultras. It was the Pentland 50 was the second ultra I ever did, and I've been back twice to do the winter ultra as well. And most recently did the Pentland 100 week last Saturday.
Let's talk about the hundred race and so on. For anybody that doesn't know what the Slim Peninsula is, if you just Google the Slim Peninsula, LLYN and then Peninsula, we're right. It's the Land's End, isn't it, of the North Wales coast. And as hundreds go, what races have you done previously before we dive deep into the Pentland Ultra 100? Because you know, you've done some big races and you've done really well as well. What ultra distances have you done previously and what races for the listeners?
So the last summer I did the Spine Summer Challenger, the South. So that's 108 miles from Edale in Derbyshire to Harddraw in Yorkshire. So I have done 100 previously, but that's the only occasion. And prior to that, it was your 50 actually in the summer of 21.
How did you get on with the Spine Challenger? What did you come in that?
I actually was first lady and broke the course record, which was an amazing. It was an amazing day.
I love how humble you are. I'd have been straight at it in my bio. Hi, my name's Lauren. I won the Women's Spine Challenger last year and I got the course record. But yeah, that's what's great about you. You're very humble, Lauren. What was, you know, it's a bit of a jump from 50 to, you know, the Spine Challenger, as a lot of the listeners will know about the spine and the trail it follows. What was your training like for that, Lauren?
I'll be honest, pretty relentless. I did work with a coach for the 6 months leading up to it. It was really structured, 6 days a week, high volume. In the early blocks, there was a lot of hill reps. And then latterly, it was building volume and long back-to-back days. So we'd have like 25 miles on a Saturday and then replicate it again on the Sunday, carrying the full kit, because the kit list for the spine races is quite extensive and as a result quite heavy. when you add in your food and water as well. So I did a lot of training with the full weight. I guess in all honesty, it was took quite a lot of sacrifices as well, sort of missing social occasions and stuff, and prioritizing the running. So I was pretty chuffed when it all paid off, obviously, on the day.
And how long was the training for? But what was your training time schedule, sort of thing? How long were you training for? Did you say 6 months? Was it?
Yeah. So I did the spine sprint in the winter of last year, which was a bit of a baptism of fire, I'll be completely honest. And I came away from that feeling like I'd not done as well as I could have done. I was a bit nervous, I think it's fair to say. So that was why I looked for a coach to sort of be a bit more structured with my training. And yeah, so I could have a proper crack at it last summer.
Are we allowed to mention your coach?
Yeah, so I worked with Howard Dracop. He was absolutely brilliant. Thoroughly recommend him. And I picked him because he was familiar with the spine race. He'd done it a couple of times a few years prior, so he knew his advice, I guess, was second to none, because he knew exactly what it was like out there. He knew what it was like carrying the kit. He knew what the conditions could be like. He knew what it was like with nutrition. So
that's so important as well. And I think it adds to the pre-race anxiety that you know the person that's coaching you has also done it, you sort of thing. And now people are probably going to be listening thinking, oh yeah, but she's a professional runner, I haven't got any time to go training, I can't do that. You mentioned it's relentless, and I think if you want something enough, you'll find the time. So do you work, or do you just live the life as an ultra runner who just waltzes around race to race? Or how did you fit it in with your day job?
I mean, I'd love to say that I was a professional ultra runner and I just waltzed around, being able to run wherever I fancy. But no, I work in asset management for a private bank. I manage a product, manage an investment fund. So that's quite a time intensive job as well, in the Monday to Friday. I work full time. So in terms of training, I was getting up early or running really late. Long days at the weekends. I just made it work. If you want something badly enough, you'll make it happen.
100%. I'm putting you on the spot a bit, which we can come back to if you can't think of anything. What kind of time management hints and tips would you, which like were, you know, you'd put into place? You know, were you going to bed wearing all your clothes, or or how were you doing it?
I guess if I knew that I had a particularly busy day at work, I would just make sure I got up earlier than normal and got the session done first thing. And also, if I knew I could do a lunch run, I'd just make sure that I blocked the time out and actually committed to doing it. Because the last thing you want is to get to the end of the day and it be like 7 o'clock and you've still got a 2-hour run on plan and you've not actually organised yourself and you've not thought about food, etc. So I suppose planning was critical. And you joke about going to sleep in your clothes. And I didn't do that, but I have them all laid out the night before and just try and make it as easy as possible. Have like my breakfast set out in the kitchen so that I could just come straight back in, eat that, shower, and then be straight at my desk. I do work from home, so I guess that helps to a certain extent in terms of not having to commute.
What time were you getting up in the morning?
Not ridiculously early, I guess. I mean, the earliest I probably got up would be like 5:15 to get a couple of hours in, but I'd never do anything like insanely long in the morning because I think I'd just be half asleep by come 11 o'clock at my desk. But the training during the week tended to be 1-hour sessions or up to 2 hours, so nothing particularly.
No, I think as well, you know, if you want it enough, you'll find the way. Otherwise, you're just finding excuses to use on race day, thinking, exactly. Oh, you know, I didn't have time to train. And that's why you're sort of like continually sabotaging yourself until you can use that excuse. But no, I think that's amazing. And at what point in the race, in the, you know, the spine challenge, did you think, oh, hang on a minute, you know, where were you placing, you know, at the start of the race? You know, were you leading all the way, or how did your journey go?
Definitely wasn't leading all the way. My plan was to, I mean, what like a lot of people say, my plan was to start slowly and not get any slower, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was with a friend for kind of the first 50K, and I didn't really want to know where I was placing, but her sister messaged to say we were 11th and 12th at the time, out of the ladies field. And
yeah.
then we went our separate ways at 50K, and I caught up with the first lady just before 100K, which took me by surprise, because it kind of before the race, I'd like my friends were dot watching, and I'd said I'll aim to sort of kick on from 100K. So that was the point where I thought I'd probably start to become competitive. I didn't think I would be out front at that point, and that in itself was quite it was a surreal experience, because I'd never considered how that might feel to lead the race for what was another 50 odd miles. So that was quite stressful, actually.
Talk us through that, because I've never ever and never will been in front of everybody else in a race. You mentioned surreal. Was there anxiety? Was there fear? But there was there also a sense of wow, a bit of wonderment about it. How was that brain?
I think there was a sense of wow to start with. I caught the person that was in first around Pinhall Beacon. I'd recce'd quite a lot of it through the night, and it was probably midnight around that time. So I was quite comfortable kicking on my own in the dark. But to start with, I thought, oh, this is amazing. But then before a race, you obviously think of things that could happen. You think, what will you do if, you have a dodgy tummy or something happens with your kit? You think of all these contingencies, but I never thought of I never went through the thought process of what it would feel like to be out front. And I think when the sun started coming up, I was around Fountains Fell, and I felt a real level of anxiety then, because I'd hit the wall, I think it's fair to say, and I felt like I was slowing down. I wasn't really. And then in my mind, I just kept thinking that everyone was going to catch me. I did actually ring my coach at the time, and as I was descending Fountains Fell, I was having a bit of a wobble.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to get a bit of reassurance. He essentially said to me, unless you go to sleep on the trail, you'll do this. But I think in your head, you just think everyone's moving a lot quicker than you are, and we'll come and get you, forgetting that we've all been going for, the best part of 24 hours. We're all fatigued. We're all feeling similar things. So,
yeah, as you say, it's the fatigued mind as well that starts going, yeah, these people behind you having the race of their life.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, whenever you went over the finishing line, people talk about mind bending events and stuff. Has it sort of like given you a different level now in training, racing and yourself? Whenever we'll talk about the 100 now, whenever you ran that. Are you a different, is it right if you say different runner? But is there like, do you sit in like a thought of doubt? Not for as long or something. You know what I mean?
I guess I've got a bit more confidence now, given that was my first 100. I'd have never gone beyond 50 miles before. There was obviously the fear that the wheels would completely fall off and I wouldn't be able to do it. So I guess having had such a good race last year, I have got the confidence now to run further. And I guess the more training you do, the more confident you are, because you get to practice your nutrition, you get to practice, trialing different kit, trialing what does and doesn't work.
And then we'll go on to kit, we'll talk penciling ultra 100, then I'll geek kit question out of you. The penciling ultra 100, that wasn't your A race that you'd originally planned. What had happened? Was there a race that you had out of or something? What had happened before?
Yeah,
the
so I did the, I signed up for the, I mean, I'm a glutton for punishment. I signed up for the Spine Challenge North in January. I was on the start line and I had a slip about 15, 16 miles in. I slipped going up a hill out of Thwaite. And yeah. I think at the time, I just thought I'd pulled my hamstring. So it was annoying, but it wasn't anything. It didn't feel particularly serious. It was just frustrating. It was minor. But as the race progressed, I got like a searing pain in my calf going up Crossfell, which is what, about 60 odd miles in, about 100k in, 65 miles. And by the time I got to Alston, I was in a bit of a pickle. I just couldn't put any pressure on my heel. And essentially what happened is during the race, really, unfortunately, I'd had a Baker's cyst form behind my knee, and then it subsequently ruptured, which then, I mean, it's a bit gross really, but it just filled my calf with fluid, and my calf was really heavily swollen, inflamed, red. I just didn't have any, I couldn't put any weight in my heel at all. So I didn't have any choice but to DNF, and that hit me quite hard really, because again, I'd trained, it's fair to say, relentlessly in the build-up to that, following the summer, sacrificed quite a lot of things over Christmas, missed things with friends and family, and then to be out within like 24 hours, I was pretty devastated. So I kind of just pulled back a bit from running, and just decided I was going to have a few months of running for the love of it again, and just sort of just finding why I did it in the first place, as opposed to the structure of a rigid training plan. So I hadn't signed up to anything at all, and I only signed up to Pentathlon 100 middle of May, I think. So
yeah, and then because the Pentathlon Ultra 100 is not. It's not a walk in the park race, you know. I sort of like vet the entrance for the 100 to make sure that they've got experience and so on. And then, you know, whenever you signed up, I was like, oh, great, brilliant stuff. And so, you know, I was chatting to you after the race and so on. The 100, for anybody that hasn't done it, it starts. We start at 11 o'clock at night on the beach, and then you run through the night, and then my house is the first. Checkpoint, which you normally get first thing in the morning between about three and six. You then went on, and you weren't very well, you said, from around Aberdaron round to Tynewydd. Was that right?
No, that's fair. It started out really well. It was great. Through the first night, it was brilliant. The checkpoint at your house was amazing. Like, all the volunteers were just fantastic. And then I had a great section across, back across the start, back across, over towards the Tin Man, over towards Mickey's Cafe. That all was all going swimmingly. You know, it was moving well. I've got a kind of set a time plan for all the checkpoints. I was on track. And then the car park, I forget where that is. Rio car park, is it?
Oh yeah, Rio. Yeah,
it's fine going through there. So that was about what would it be, about 50 miles in, or maybe between 50 miles and 100k in. Felt great. And then as I was going around towards Aberdaron, the sun came out. There was no coastal breeze at all, which completely surprised me. And that's that one section from Aberdaron round to Porth Coleman, I hadn't recce'd at all. I'd done the rest of it, but
it's like going over the Cape Horn on a boat.
Obviously I'm aware of what coastal paths are like, I'm aware of what the rest of the peninsula is like. There was a lot of up and down, which is fine, but I just the sun got me up. I mean, I don't know whether I had a touch of not sunstroke, but something, because all of a sudden I couldn't take on any food. I was still able to drink, but everything I was trying to eat, I couldn't swallow it, as bizarre as that sounds. I just couldn't swallow it, and as I approached the checkpoint before Porth Coleman, the one that begins with you, with the long name, I wasn't in a great state there. I wasn't in a great way there, because I hadn't eaten anything for about the past probably 3 hours or so. And the volunteers again were great, got some food down me, and I felt a little bit better. But then that section round to Porth Coleman, oh my goodness, honestly, I felt absolutely terrible. And I never thought that I'd pull out, but any plans I had of doing, because I set out thinking, oh, I want to get it done on the Saturday. I want to be finished on the Saturday. So I knew that was out the window, and it was just a case of one foot in front of the other, and you know, the saying, relentless forward motion, just to try and get to the end. But I kind of picked up again around the Teacock pub, but I had 20, 25 miles of, I wasn't enjoying myself, shall we say, to put it politely.
Do you shut down the brain for that, as you say, one step in front of the other, or do you go into sort of a memory bank of the good times, or what's your distraction methods and stuff for those one step in front of the other, which at the time can seem forever?
Yeah, it can seem forever, and I think I wouldn't say I shut down my brain, but I very much go into like a run walk strategy, and I'll pick points in the distance, and I'll think, right, you've got to run to there before you can start walking again, and then when I get to that point, I make myself go a little bit further before I walk again, and I don't know, I just focus on the next point that I can see, and just keep, rather than looking, like, obviously on the peninsula you can see well ahead, can't you, at certain points.
Yeah.
You see just how far you've got to go, and if you look that far ahead, and you know that's like 10 miles away, that's quite soul destroying, but I just focus on the immediate, what I can see immediately in front of me, and just keep moving towards that, I suppose.
And it's simple, as you say, that gets you to your destination, and you start feeling better, and that's it, first lady for the 100. Absolutely outstanding, because it was a day where we had a lot of DNFs, not just at the 100, but on the 75 and the 50, because there was, I think, as you say, there was this pocket of time where it went warm, and after a breezy kind of cool start, it just went humid and hot sort of thing. So talk us through your kits. Let's go to the geeks sort of thing. We'll talk food and fuel.
Yeah,
for the 100 or in general, what do you tend to, have you like got a go-to brand of, you know, your electrolytes or whatever, or what do you have as your snack packs with you?
So I kind of have a mix of half, I use the Voom Fusion Fuel that they've recently released, and some of their electrolyte bars. I also like the Mountain Fuel jellies that they do. Yeah. And I kind of mix that with, I'll use, you know, typical things like flapjack, hula hoops are a favourite of mine, raisins I carry, bananas actually I found. I seem to really crave bananas on ultras. I know they're heavy, but I know I can eat them. So I sort of alternate between real food and then the more, you know.
And are you a flat Coca-Cola woman? Or just the water and the cordial, flat Coca-Cola.
I do like a little bit of flat Coke. I must admit, going through a checkpoint. And actually, I have to say, I very much enjoyed is probably the wrong word, at Porth Coleman. I think it was Becky. She managed to get a pot of rice pudding down me, which I've never had on an ultra before. But that seemed to do the trick as well. So,
game changers, game changers. But the thing is, once you, I think you find a save me food,
yeah,
it's sort of, you even get it in your house,
yeah,
so it's there. But yeah, the save me foods are brilliant. Custard's another one, and cans of flat flanter. and then, so Kate, what are you wearing on your feet at the moment? Not right now, obviously.
I wore the Salomon Ultra Glides actually for the 100.
Oh, how were they?
Yeah, they were great. They were really good. I did, I changed into, because we could obviously have a drop bag, I changed into the Salomon Speedcross only because we had a couple of fairly heavy downpours approaching Aberdaron, and my shoes and socks were actually absolutely drenched. So I did swap into the Speedcross when I could. But yeah, the Ultra Glides, they're pretty light and they did well on the rock, so... Yeah, they were good. I'd use them again for around there, definitely.
And do you take your feet, or what's your foot management like? Just a pair of socks, or you line your socks as well? Or
so I'm foot management. I think after a lot of not issues, but I've learned from mistakes, I suppose. I'm quite so at your house. Which was obviously about 30 miles in.
32 miles.
Changed my socks. I put talc in my socks. That works a treat for me. Talked my feet before putting them in. Yeah, and I tape my heel and tape just under my toes as well. So that works a treat. Stops any rubbing.
It does. I think that the the better you look after your toes and stuff is because it can just, each time you're planting your foot, it's just another little kind of a little rub, little bit of a, and then that your socks. What sock brand are you?
Wearing? I'm a big fan of the Injinji, so you know the toe socks.
Yes,
big fan of those. Yeah.
Now, do you wear the liner and then another sock over it, or are you just the Injini sock?
If in the winter I wear the liner with maybe a waterproof sock over the top if I was sort of doing spine training, but no. So last weekend I just wore the Injinji. Just the trail socks on their own, and they work perfectly.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're a great sock. And then shorts, or tights, or what are you
wearing? No, shorts. Yeah, I wear again Solomon some S Lab shorts.
Yeah.
They're
good material, aren't they? And it's
they're really light.
Yeah, that's key, isn't it? I don't understand how Courtney Dullwater wears these big basketball shorts, because I'd be sweating loads.
Yeah, that amazes me. Yeah,
yeah. Incredible runner, but you know, you see some of the clothes that these elites are wearing. I'd just be chaffed to shit.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
And then your t-shirt mid layer, are you tech or are you cotton or what do you wear?
So I wear the Montane Dart t-shirts.
Nice.
Quite light, yeah.
Yeah. They're a lovely quality, them as well, aren't they?
Really nice, yeah.
And what bag have you got?
I use the Montane Gecko 12 litre for last weekend.
Yeah, really. They're really
great.
And are you on for poles at all? Are you on for poles?
I do like poles, but I didn't think they were needed on your course, to be honest.
Yeah. In hindsight, would you have taken them knowing that bit of the course, or would you think, no, I'm all right without them?
Do you know what? I was in so much of a pickle from Aberdaren round to Porth Coleman. I don't think it made any difference to me whether the sun had really got me by that point.
Yeah, it's like, just leave me alone. Let me get on with it.
It was just hands on the knees and just to get, you know, I don't think it made much of a difference, to be honest. Yeah. I do like them for, you know, mountain days. They're brilliant.
Yeah, and then, you know, your next races now, have you got anything planned or what are you up to?
So the only thing I've signed up for is the Arc of Attrition in January, the 100.
Version. All right.
So that's kind of my next main aim, but I'm planning to do there's a Peak District Ultra in September, which is I'm planning to do the 33-mile version of that. And then I'm certain I'll be back with you, Hugh, to do the Winter Ultra for a third time in November. So,
oh, good. No, I'm just looking at the competition and stuff. No, I can't wait. The winter one's great fun and stuff. And then, so is it back to having a coach, relentless training, or coach with just training? Or
no, my plan is now to spend the next 6 months really focusing on the arc. So yeah, back to coaching, back to the relentless nature of it. I've had enough time to enjoy my running again and just, you know, potter around, I suppose, I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 months. So yeah, I'm gonna get
sorry,
back on it.
The signal went then, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I'll edit this bit out. Yeah, so you're training and stuff now for these races. Is that with the same coach, and does he adapt it for these kind of races, or what happens with that?
So I stopped working with my coach actually in January when after my DNF, because I just like I said, I just wanted to get back to enjoying the running and get back to basics really. So but I'm definitely going to start from August, I think, back on some structured plan to, yeah, it'll be all eyes on January really. I'd like to be fairly competitive in January. I don't know what happened, but I'd like to be in the best shape I can be. You can't do anything about the competition, can you? But I'd just like to turn up in January in the best form I can get to over the next 6 months.
Brilliant. And that's a great approach. And just we were talking before we started recording, you've been to the Alps. I'm very jealous. You went through like a mini break. Are you potentially going to do one of the UTMBs?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot since the since it popped up on Strava the other day. I'll be honest, I had no intention of doing any of the UTMBs, but having spent 4 days out there last week, potentially, I'd never say never. It's not high up on my list. There's a lot of things I'd like to do closer to home.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brilliant UK races that I'd like to do. So that would be my focus primarily. I think I need to get a bit stronger in the mountains as well. So I'm strong on the ups. I'm not that great at descending. I'm particularly technical descents. Mm. So I need to work on that. Maybe one day, Hugh, maybe we'll see.
I'm always sniffing around for a scoop, like a little roving reporter there with going. And so tell me then. Brilliant. Listen, well, I can't thank you enough for coming along to the Pentland Ultras but for giving an insight to training and so on for the listeners. And we'll definitely have a catch up after your next race and so on. Thanks ever so much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Hugh.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lauren.
Great to chat to you. Bye.
Bye bye.